Prologue, November 1953. After more than 2 weeks at sea to simmer the tension between them, Violet and Daisy Chettle couldn't stand each other, let alone stand next to each other, not even to meet the Queen. On the main deck under the hot afternoon sun, the 80-strong crew of the SS Gothic waited silently for Her Majesty and the Duke to board. Over 20 minutes had passed as the men sweated in their heavy-pressed uniforms, and the women felt the sting of a Jamaican sunlight on their impeccably made-up skin. Violet stood halfway along the third row, wringing her hands against her stomach as a seagull gloated on the portside railing, its mouth cocked open in the repressive heat. She was about to meet her idol, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. She long adored the monarchy, and this sudden proximity to it was a greater accomplishment than she had ever imagined. The pomp and aggrandizement of this woman. She was only crowned 5 months ago, Daisy had lectured Violet earlier that day. It's all a pantomime. Fool the people, distract them from the machinations of politics and entitlement. Violet had shushed her. Smite the Lord's name if you must, but stay away from the crown, she'd whispered angrily, fearful they might be overheard. She observed the seagull on the railing. It danced sideways, closer to the rows of freshly shaved men in clean naval regalia. Daisy stood in front of her. Your uniform would be an enticing target to a bored seagull, she heard Daisy remark to the towering officer standing to attention at her right. His gaze remained unwavering. To attention, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II of England and the Duke of Edinburgh, the steward announced loudly, and within seconds the Queen and Prince Philip appeared from the starboard doorway, escorted towards the waiting group by the po-faced Private Secretary Ratcliffe. Violet's heartbeat accelerated. She'd been instructed to avoid eye contact, but couldn't help stealing a glance. Poised, youthful, feminine, perhaps slightly withdrawn, the Queen might have been any young woman on a great occasion. Her skin was flawlessly fragile, paler than the impression gained from paintings and photographs. She wore a blue pleated dress, a single string of pearls, and a pillbox hat that sat just so on her judiciously weaved hair. She smiled patiently as she walked along the front row. Prince Philip shone just as brilliantly. He was tall and imposing, but even his blinding naval wear, a vivid white suit with matching cap, couldn't subdue the humour that radiated from him. He paused to chat jovially to a chief engineer as if they were old friends, then glanced down the line at Daisy, who stood out among the uniformed men like a wildflower in the desert. She blushed at the attention, a gentle smirk following in its wake. Violet scrunched her nose nervously, willing Daisy to stop being herself. The Queen's official lady-in-waiting, Lady Caroline Althorpe, hovered. Lady Althorpe was a refined, well-bred woman with a slender neck and pale girlish skin despite her 31 years. As they approached Daisy's place in the line, she discreetly whispered near the Queen's shoulder. "You're with Lady Althorpe?" the Queen asked Daisy, her eyes round with genuine curiosity. The sharp timbre of her voice made the routine inquiry sound personal and authentic. Violet couldn't help but watch and listen. "Why, yes," Daisy replied, unintimidated, adding, "Your Majesty," as an afterthought. "Thank you for your service," the Queen responded seamlessly before she glided on. Violet breathed out. "Never look at Her Majesty directly," she'd been told by Lady Althorpe, "unless you're invited to do so." Violet's chest tightened again, her heart leaping at the thought of her turn. She parted her lips slightly to take in more oxygen. She stared straight ahead, her hands clasped in front of her as instructed, as she resisted her instinct to fidget. "Still, perfectly still," her inner voice repeated. The shape of the Queen approaching edged into her peripheral vision. Violet's breathing became heightened again, and she focused on the foreground as the Queen passed mere inches before her. Then she was gone. Violet's shoulders dropped as her heart sank. Her Majesty stopped to chat with the chef two places along. The seagulls cawed and trilled. They weren't laughing at Violet, but that's the way it sounded. Once again, Daisy was the chosen one, and Violet simply didn't exist. And then the vomit rose in Violet's throat.